and welcome to the AI for Health podcast. My name is Sarah Benamara, and every week we explore different ways in which artificial intelligence brings innovations to the future of healthcare. On this episode, I discuss how AI has been leveraged for dermatological applications. Researchers have been exploring the usefulness of AI to improve current screening processes in melanoma and non-melanoma skin cancer. Melanoma is the fifth most common invasive cancer in the USA, and its incidence is increasing around the world. Melanomas are also responsible for the vast majority of skin cancer-related mortalities. On the other hand, non-melanoma skin cancer is a complex classification problem because the differential diagnosis includes benign and malignant neoplasms, cysts, and inflammatory diseases. In contrast, determining the diagnosis of melanoma versus benign pigmented nevus is a simpler binary classification problem. Skin cancer is screened visually with a total body skin examination. Unfortunately, data from the National Health Interview Survey indicate that screening rates are remarkably low. Consequently, the first deep learning algorithms focused on classifying melanoma to address low screening rates and increase access. In 2017, Stanford University published a study on deep learning of skin tumors. It was one of the first milestone studies to classify malignant melanoma with notable accuracy. They demonstrated classification of skin lesions using a single convolutional neural network trained end-to-end from images directly, using only pixels and disease labels as inputs. They tested its performance against 21 board-certified dermatologists on biopsy-proven clinical images with two critical binary classification of cases. The first case represented the identification of the most common cancers, keratinocyte carcinomas versus benign seborrheic keratosis. And the second case represented the identification of the deadliest skin cancer, malignant melanomas versus benign nevi. It was found that the machine had a competence comparable to board-certified dermatologists in identifying and classifying skin cancer. There are limitations to the algorithm. It has not been externally validated, therefore it is unclear whether these results are generalizable to other datasets. Future research could fine-tune the convolutional neural network with a small sample of new images before being applied to new datasets. Also, further validation in prospective clinical trials in more real-world settings is necessary before claiming the superiority of this algorithm performance over dermatologists. Another perspective would be the combination of human and artificial intelligence to accomplish a better classification of images as compared to only dermatologists or only classification. Therefore, more recent studies have relied on supervised learning, in which a dermatopathologist labels images to help train the model. And these studies highlight the importance of the dermatopathologist in creating models to classify melanocytic lesions. Models trained with image curation done by a dermatopathologist were found to be 50% more accurate and to take significantly less time to train. There are also a few studies that have integrated the patient's demographics, such as their age, gender, etc., with images of their skin lesions. And they have shown that a classifier based on both patient's metadata and dermoscopic images is more accurate than a classifier based only on dermoscopic images. Future studies could also include clinical data such as laboratory tests, with the goal of creating more accurate algorithms. Access to medical care is being transformed with the advent of mobile applications, which can monitor, diagnose, and provide health information. Mobile applications and personal monitoring combined with machine learning algorithms hold great potential due to their portability and convenience. For example, melanoma screening through a mobile application could ultimately increase the accessibility of screening, and especially in rural areas with limited availability to dermatologists. Furthermore, the early detection of skin cancer is important since the prognosis is highly dependent on whether the cancer is detected at an early stage when it's easier to treat and its prognosis is more favorable. Besides early diagnosis, they could help to lower the burden of skin cancer by reducing the need of physician consultations and the number of referrals to secondary care by general practitioners. There are currently two types of mobile applications for melanoma screening. First, there is the store and forward teledermatology, where pictures are taken by patients and sent to a remote dermatologist for evaluations. 70% of the patients using this type of mobile application stated they would not have seen a dermatologist without the teledermatology program. This indicates that these applications can significantly impact outreach. And there are the automated smartphone apps, which use a machine learning algorithm to determine the probability of malignancy on the spot without consultation from a dermatologist. With this application, a user may take a picture of a lesion with his smartphone and have it analyzed by an algorithm. This will return a risk rating for the lesion with recommendation to see a doctor for high-risk cases. The smartphone application maintains a database with validated cases where histopathological reports are shared voluntarily by some of its users, and clinical validation is done by at least one dermatologist on all images that are being processed by the algorithm. This type of application has been criticized due to their low sensitivity, which instead of facilitating early detection of skin cancer, could cause a sense of false reassurance. So just to give you an idea, in a study they calculated the average sensitivity of 58 dermatologists to be 87% and their specificity to be 71%. And going back to the application, the latest review on a smartphone application stated a sensitivity of 95% given a 78% specificity. So these applications are, however, not adequate for patient use at the present time because of the lack of regulation and the potential for false positive or false negative. And they do not replace the intervention of medical doctor, and more studies have to be made to improve the accuracy of these algorithms. Here are some more examples of dermatological applications of AI. AI has been used for ulcer assessment. There is a growing body of research on diabetic and pressure ulcer applications. These studies demonstrate methods for improving wound assessment using image recognition, and some of these AI applications are able to segment the area of ill-defined ulcers. Others are able to classify granulations and necrotic tissue. There are also risk prediction tools that leverage data in the electronic health record of admitted patients to predict their tendency to develop pressure ulcers. AI applications have also been developed for psoriasis and other inflammatory skin diseases. Most of these studies have focused on improving psoriasis classification methods using image recognition, but there also is a psoriasis application that goes beyond image recognition. It predicts psoriasis patient response to biologic therapy using parameters gauged at an initial visit, such as the patient's weight and the age of onset. This model could be used to optimize therapy for patients. And beyond psoriasis, applications have been described classifying other inflammatory skin diseases such as acne. For example, there is a smartphone AI tool that grades and classifies types of acne lesions. Another tool was developed to differentiate several papulosquamous diseases. These are diseases that present with scaly papules and plaques. There is also research on using AI to minimize exposure to skin-sensitizing substances. For example, an application is capable of analyzing physicochemical properties of substances and determining whether the substance could be a sensitizer or not. While these uses of AI can have an impact on a population-wide level, significant technological and clinical validation studies are still necessary. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the AI for Health podcast on dermatology. If you would like to dig deeper, all the references used are in the show notes. And if you like what you just heard, subscribe to the show and let a friend know.